landed an urgent and horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now, this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Big story of the day. A state judge in Washington granted Oregon State and Washington State sole control of the Pac-12 Board of Directors on Tuesday. They issued that the ruling, they issued that at a preliminary injunction. And basically, the judge, Gary Libby, granted a stay of the decision until Monday. So basically saying, we'll make that decision next Monday, but it's done. And OSU and WSU did not argue, did not object. So they're just like, they won. How crazy is this, man? Obviously, the 10 schools that are leaving the Pac-12 following this year are set to appeal this process, but I don't see what is going to change. The decision comes roughly, according to ESPN, 2 months after Libby granted a temporary restraining order at the request of OSU and Oregon State and Washington State that prevented Pac-12 Commissioner George Kliavkoff from calling any Pac-12 board meetings. So, Angel, what does it mean? What does it mean? It means that if Oregon State and Washington State wanted to vote on not giving any of the remaining Pac-12 teams their money for this year, they can. That's one thing they can do. What else? I mean, that's the big one, right? That's the biggie. You're not going to get any money from us. You're not getting your cake and you're not going to eat it too.
That, I think they could influence the Pac-12 championship game. And just straight up say, nope, it's Oregon State and Washington.
Do you think they would do that?
They could.
Do you think they would?
Why not?
That seems petty.
You got two teams that are in the top six, and they're not going to be in your conference next year. It doesn't do the Pac-12 any good if Washington or Oregon wins a championship.
No, you're right.
So you don't get to do that.
I don't know how good it does Oregon State and Washington State to play in it.
It's going down with the ship.
It would be kind of funny, man. It would be kind of funny. Big Hub says the end of the Mountain West, revival of the Pac-12. They could now. Well, what else are you going to do? What is Oregon State?
I don't know if the Mountain West is going to just dissipate. I think the Mountain West right now is just a stronger brand.
So if you're Oregon State and Washington State, you're now the controlling. You control this thing. You got to figure out who's running the show at some point, right? Mm-hmm. Who's going to be the. Because it ain't going to be George Kliavkoff.
No.
Who is against them. Oh, what's the Mountain West commissioner's name? I'm blanking out. I've heard her name come up as far as being a potential person that could come in and be...
Gloria Navarro?
Yes, yeah. And I think she's been... Everything I hear has been good. So if you're the Pac-2, what do you do, Angel? You're Oregon State and Washington State. Tell me, you're the college guru here. What's your first move? Are you calling the top 10 Mountain West teams and saying, let's form a conference and let's see if we can keep your TV deal. Let's talk to Apple, whatever the bozo George Kliavkoff organized, contracted. Let's talk about that and merge them together.
I mean, it sounds good in theory, but in practice, it's you're basically just getting rid of the Mountain West as a brand, as a not a company, but as a thing, as an entity, and reforming the Pac-12. Can you do it all in one off season?
Because I think
so. With the way the playoff is going to be set up, if this is not the final evolution of college football, but the next big one that's probably going to be around for a bit with the Power Four and then everybody else. You have to make yourself valuable. I don't know if bringing 10 Mountain West schools makes you equally as valuable as maybe the Big 12 or the ACC, and then you're relying on your powerhouses to try to lead that. And who are the powerhouses?
In the
Pac-2 Mountain, whatever.
It would be Oregon State. It would be Washington State. It would be Boise State. It would be Not San Diego State. They get like 8 people to go to their games. CSU should be, but they just aren't winning enough to make Canvas pop. Wyoming is interesting, but I mean, they have a good home crowd and things, but that's not outside of Wyoming. Mm-hmm. You know, not a lot of people care about it. And again, San Diego State being a California school, you would think, oh, but nobody's going to their games. So who would be the powerhouse teams that you could make a powerhouse team? Well, this was always the dream for Colorado State. Would you build the fancy stadium? You know, you upgrade all your facilities, and you become that school. Nevada's not a powerhouse. Hawaii's not a powerhouse. Who do you see? UNLV could potentially be that, maybe? Fresno State?
According to the NCAA bylaws, an FBS conference needs at least 8 full FBS members that satisfy all bowl subdivision requirements.
And what is that?
So you would only need to get 6 teams.
So you could just call it the Pac-8, mm-hmm. which is what it was, wasn't it?
Yep. But on the other side of the table, it's the Mountain West saying we could take advantage of this situation and really, really boost our brand and boost ourselves as a conference.
So what, your Oregon State, Washington State, like you're somehow in this weird world where you're both of them. Is it better to try to reform, get a commissioner, reform the Pac-8, make it the Pac-8, or is it better to jump on the Mountain West ship? Because why hasn't Oregon State or Washington State moved? Is that because all these other conferences are full now? They were the odd men out?
Without direct ties to their rivals, they couldn't get pulled in with Oregon and Washington. It would be up if the Mountain West could convince them to say, hey, if you become a part of us, we can really boost our conference and make potentially be a Power 5 conference again.
How many teams are in the Mountain West? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12?
Yeah, and I don't know if 14? Those two schools would want to get rid of the Pac-12 name and brand because it's so synonymous with college football.
So college football playoffs came out with, they did amend the playoffs thing, which I don't know if it changes much, but instead of the Power 5 conferences, we're each going to get a rep and then one group of 5, they have now changed it to 5 conference champs, right?
Yes, so the original plan was 6 plus 6.
Yep, and now it's 5 and 7.
Yes.
So it's 5 champs, the best 5 champs, mm-hmm. which right now, today, there's a Power 5, but next year, that is up in the air. I think if you were a gambling man, you might predict that next year, it's the Power 4. So that really doesn't change for a group of 5, like the Mountain West. Now, what gets tricky for the Mountain West Conference is if the Pac-2 somehow peel off. I mean, listen, it doesn't have to all be Mountain West teams. Mm-hmm. They could peel off 3 teams from the Mountain West and start looking at some of the other conferences and peel those teams away. Any teams that might make sense. And they could create the Pac-8 again through that. Then I think they would still have enough clout, and maybe not, but have enough clout to be known as a Power 5? They'd be like semi-Power 5? But in a conference with Oregon State and Washington State, assuming one of those is the champ, you would imagine they would be a higher-ranked champ than a Mountain West school. So a lot of people were saying that, no, none of this changes for the Mountain West Conference because it's still going to be 5, and since there's no more Power 5, we just have a group of 5 school or group of 6 or whatever the hell it's going to be. Mm-hmm. True. But if the Pac-2 pulls something out of their butts and they do make a go of this thing, then it's back to, okay, what constitutes them as a Power 5 school, a Power 5 conference? The branding?
Well, I mean, they could still just be considered a top-ranked conference champ. And if they are, you know, say Oregon State wins their conference and they are ranked 15 and the best Mountain West team is ranked 20, Mountain West doesn't get in.
So it really, the Power 5 thing really is going away then, the terminology of Power 5, because now the college playoff is simply saying the top five conference champs, correct?
Right.
They're not.
So if
they're not
the American Conference champ is better than the Mountain West champ,
yep,
the American Conference gets the bid.
If somehow the SEC just eats each other up and they're all losing to each other and you've got all the champ wins like two or three, again, I know it's not realistic, but let's say it happens, in the law or in the new rule, technically it could be all Group of Five conference champs in the playoffs. Never will happen, but to me, that helps my brain because I'm like, just knowing the possibility is there is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. But so I don't see that really changing unless, again, it's going to be easier. Like Oregon State, Washington State, wherever they end up going, if they end up having a phenomenal year next year and they're in the Pac-8 or whatever, then odds are their ranking is going to go up. I don't even know what their schedules are going to look like next year. Like they haven't. Those are the two teams right now that haven't figured that out. Everybody else probably knows their schedule, right? Mm-hmm. Are those the only two teams that don't know who the hell they're playing next year? They know they're playing each other, and that's why they floated. We saw one idea where they floated out a semi partnership between the Pac-2 and the Mountain West, where they're their own entity. They're kind of like Notre Dame, but two Notre Dames, but they would use the Mountain West teams as making their schedule. And those would count as conference games. Mm-hmm. And then you would take the winner from the Pac-2. It gets confusing. What's appealing? Now, Big Hub says, the major thing I see is there's a Pac-12 network TV channel. Mountain West doesn't have one. Then it's still Power 5. But again, there isn't many powerhouse teams. The Pac-12 network, though, was a dud. It turned out to be a dud. Because not everybody had it.
Well, and if their deal runs out in the next few years, they're not going to re-up it if there's just two teams.
The Mountain West has I know I get flack for this, but somewhat of a national TV deal. FS1. They're with FS1. They have some games on ESPN, right?
Sometimes.
And then CBS Sports. Those are your opportunities to catch casual fans, and that's what it's all about. The Pac-12 network is just for the diehard Pac-12ers. So you're not really expanding, and so that was an oversight by the commissioner before Kliavkov was to go in on their long-term ESPN deal, knowing that they could up the ante at some point. Then instead they signed an 11 or 12 year deal. They didn't care. They brushed it off to the side because they said the Pac-12 network is going to be where we butter our biscuit. That's going to be the main thing for us. So that's one of the big screw-ups that they had. So what does this mean today? What does yesterday's ruling mean? In summary, the big concern from Pac-12 teams, the 10 that are leaving, was that if Oregon State and Washington State are the voting members and control everything, they would not get any of the revenue from this year. And make no mistake about it, that's a big deal. I don't know what kind of revenue each Pac-12 team gets, but it's a big deal. It's a significant amount. So to just go a year without getting that is big. But Oregon State and Washington State are essentially saying, no, you left. You can't leave, go get more money next year, and then take what's left of our money. Is that fair? Is that right? Because they're still technically a Pac-12 team. They're still performing as a Pac-12 program and college. Should they get their money this year?
You kind of forfeited that when you left.
But they still have a year. They got the year left.
Sorry. You have made the intentions. It's like, I'm going to break up with you in 2 months, but I need a place to stay for a couple of months.
So yeah.
Let me just stay here with you while we're broken up.
Listen, I'm not going to fight you on that because I get it. But they are technically still. Honestly, either way this thing went, I would have probably just been like, yeah, makes sense. Because it honestly, both of them do make sense to me. If they would have ruled that, no, you can't be voting, just the only voting members, you can next year, but obviously this year you can't. And the rest of the schools are going to get their money the way they were supposed to because they were contracted through this.
If the Pac-2 is on level 5, the Mountain West is on level 4, it's a discussion of, wow, do you go down a level or do you force 6 teams in the Mountain West to jump up a level?
I believe you force As much as I love the Mountain West.
Because the risk is if you go down, if you take the two down to level four, you risk not even being able to get back into level five.
Yeah.
Because it's, oh, well, you just kind of, you settled for the Mountain West, so we're not going to really consider you powerhouses anymore.
Yeah, I would think the best course of action here would to get six teams, because it can be the Pac-8. Mm-hmm. Focus on six. Get your six, maybe from the Mount West, because that makes sense with...
Oh, it doesn't need to be geographical anymore.
No, it doesn't. But I would imagine that make a... Well, yeah, I would
you
make...
You have to start looking at the American Conference, the Sun Belt Conference.
So who would you take, if you're a Pac-2, you take six. Would you take all Mount West schools?
I'd probably take four.
And I'm not just speaking from a CSU person. You do take CSU because there's potential there. They are in Colorado. They could potentially play primetime if he is here for the foreseeable future. They have the facilities. You're taking Colorado State. Probably taking, wouldn't you take Fresno State?
Yep.
Boise State?
California market, yep. You want Boise State.
Would you take San Diego State even though their draw is awful right now?
I take them for basketball.
What if it's a package deal?
Yeah.
UNLV.
The more you could get into the California market is going to serve the Pac-12 better.
UNLV, San Jose State, or San Diego State?
Probably San Diego State.
What about UNLV? Is that market going to grow? Vegas is popping.
There's potential there.
Like Nevada's. Here's the ones you don't take. Like Air Force, right?
No, you let them go be independent.
Or keep their own Mount West. See, that's the thing. The Mount West could still be the Mount West.
Right.
Just. And that sucks for Wyoming Cowboys fans. It does, because Wyoming needs that rivalry. I know they hate CSU, but they do need that rivalry. 22 minutes after the hour, let's get a quick break here. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
We're thankful for you, Northern Colorado. Thanks for listening to Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
Want to thank Lemons Heating and Cooling, air conditioning, heating, duct cleaning. It's, I don't know, Angel. I think the weather, we might get a little bit of a change later in the weekend, according to Cody Wilson at Denver Front Range and Weather. I'm warning you guys. Be ready. Get the heater up to snuff. Get it ready to go. Maybe it already is. Maybe you already use Lemons Heating and Cooling. So thank you for doing that. But if you are concerned about your heat situation, do not wait. Right now is a good time to get it taken care of. You don't want to be making calls when it's freezing at home and it's uncomfortable. Don't do it. They got free estimates available. Check them out online at lemonsheatingandcooling.com. They'll also take calls 970-567-0798. You see them all over the place. And I always say, man, if you're seeing a business with a lot of logoed vehicles servicing all these homes and buildings and everything throughout the area, that means they're doing something right. That means the word is getting out. That's Lemons Heating and Cooling. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. I want to make more time for this guy. We're going to bring him on, Mike Sanford. He, you know that name. He was the interim head coach for the Colorado Buffaloes last year. He got the one win for the Buffs. When we keep saying, well, that one win team, Mike Sanford was that guy. I was pulling for him. I really was. I think he's a talented dude. But the question for him now is, what is he going to do with that talent? Because he could go be a coach again. He could be a radio guy. He could do a lot of different things. So we'll talk to the coach, Coach Sanford, coming up next. First, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Just 32 minutes after the hour. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by Chevron, here from the Aloe Fiber Studios. And joining me now, and I believe joining me in these studios tomorrow, is going to be the man himself, Mike Sanford. Great to have you on the program, Mike. Of course, excellent career, excellent stops throughout everywhere in college football. Mike, that man, I always appreciate getting you on the program.
Hey, Brady, it's great to be on, man. It's a lot of this thing's wrapping up, man, and it's a lot of drama, a lot of uncertainty with the CFP rankings. Still can't believe the Washington Huskies are getting no respect put on their name and still outside of the top four. Luckily, hopefully, they'll have the opportunity to take care of that with a couple big wins here in the next few weeks.
Oh, yeah, man. It's heating up for sure. The college football ranking, playoff rankings, what's going to happen next year. The Pac-2, I'm curious to get your thoughts on that and what they're going to be doing. But first, I got to ask you, Mike, and feel free to just no comment me. Any calls from Boise State? Any phone calls? Anything like any texts or anything? Emails?
A lot of texts from old teammates and old neighbors in Boise, but that's about it. So,
really?
Yeah, you know, I was up in Boise this past weekend. It's actually my first game that I'd been to as a non-coach, non-player. And so 5 years as a player, and then one as the offensive coordinator in 2014. And, you know, I was able to raise the blue chaos flag and get the decibel level at Albertson Stadium above 100. I think a couple people accused me of only raising it to half staff. I just did what I was instructed to do. But we had a whole heck of a lot of fun. And, I had a chance to meet some of the new faces around the program, around the athletic department. But really, I was absolutely just as shocked as everybody else after a 28-point victory against New Mexico to see my former teammate in the same class as I came into Boise State with, Andy Avalos, being dismissed. So I was in Boise that morning, and, you know, I got a text from a member of the media in Boise, BJ Rains, who I do a show every Monday night with called Ball Talk. It's available on streaming platforms, and I was just as shocked as he was. He had no insider information. The first guy that got it was Pete Dammel, that son of a gun. So it was shocking to all of us. And I think Boise State's going to get red hot here in these last 2 weeks of the season.
It's just you're right, though. It is an interesting time. You come off of a win. We get the news before that about, they're a really solid wide receiver going to enter the transfer portal. And then you start, drama just kind of keeps swirling around the Broncos. But what does this mean to you in your mind, Mike, when you hear this? Andy Avalos, I liked him. And, I thought, maybe it's going to take so up and down maybe a few years here. But I kind of thought that maybe he would get another year. I know the pressure was there for sure, but is this Boise State saying, hey, we demand flat-out freaking excellence, and anything slightly less than that is unacceptable?
Yeah, since I was recruited to Boise State in 1999, Dirk Cutter's second year, and I ended up starting there in 2000 as a student-athlete, not starting as a quarterback. I never did that. I was a backup all 5 years. But, this is a program that has had zero losing seasons in a quarter century. And so you're sitting at 5-5 right now. Boise State's the type of program. When I went back to coach there in 2014, a sub-10 win season is cause for the sky to be falling. So 5-5 at Boise State, completely unacceptable. I think Andy Avalos would agree with that. I think everybody across the Boise State fan base and all the former players felt the same way. But I think it's more because Jeremiah Dickey, the athletic director there at Boise State, who's in really his third year, was basically involved in the hiring of Avalos at the very tail end. Only the last, I think, 3-5 days that Jeremiah Dickey had been on the job before he was able to select a head coach. So I think Jeremiah Dickey did some digging, and I don't know what he found, to be real candid, but I think there were some things from a program health standpoint that he felt like needed to be addressed ASAP, and he did that. I think this fan base, the donors, they trust Jeremiah Dickey, and so I think this is a very dangerous team these last 2 weeks of the season. And the crazy thing about it, even at 5-5, they're still very much in the Mountain West championship hunt. UNLV and Air Force play each other this week, and that's going to be obviously there's going to be some cannibalization of the top of the Mountain West Conference. Air Force has been on the schneid for a few weeks, and I don't know what's going on, down in the Springs. I think that Boise State goes and plays at Utah State, a very dangerous team in a very dangerous environment. But Spencer Danielson, the new interim athletic or interim head coach, who was the defensive coordinator, he's got the personality, I think, to ignite this team. And I think they blow out Utah State, and then they have a Friday night set with Air Force on the blue, and I think they'll blow out Air Force, because Air Force isn't the same team away from that amazing military base down in Colorado Springs. When they play on the road, they're a different team.
Yeah, and you know, that Hawaii game, I mean, it had me second guessing life, Mike, to be real honest with you. I was like, what is this world? What is football now? I don't understand it anymore. Last question on the Boise State thing with the Eric McAllister thing. How much do you think, when you're talking about digging and maybe something going on, I don't know, how much of that would you look at and say, players are wanting to leave now? You got a star player, a really good football player is going to leave the program. How much of that kind of thing do you think impacted the decision?
I think it was part of it, but I think there's a lot more to it that I think even the fans and former players like myself don't even know. You know, I think that, you know, those are things that an athletic director like Jeremiah Dickey, who's a boots on the ground athletic director, he's a servant leader, he's around. So he has eyes and ears at all times around that program. So I think I think it was a collection of data. I think the Eric McAllister piece was part of that data that he collected. The crazy thing about Eric McAllister entering the portal is the day before he entered the portal, he was targeted 19 times against Fresno State. So it wasn't a playing time issue. It wasn't a utilization in the offense issue. It was something deeper than that. And I think that's part of the equation. The other thing that was really strange is a longtime staffer and administrator in the football department that dates back to Chris Peterson's time as a head coach, Lou Major, was terminated on Friday, the day before the New Mexico game. And I was a head scratcher too. The only thing I can say that, you know, from what I've heard is that Lou Major is back in the office employed the day after Andy Avalos was fired. So there's some stuff going down. There was obviously some drama, and ultimately Jeremiah Dickey made the decision that he felt was best for the program. And onward the Broncos go. So it'll be interesting to follow for the next few weeks and months as they narrow down a coach.
Mike Sanford joining us. And Mike, I want to ask you about our poll question today. We're talking Wyoming since we're talking Mountain West. Craig Bull's got another year on his contract, but Cowboys fans, I believe, what I've been seeing, are kind of over it. They're kind of done. Because, you know, you're talking about excellence with Boise State. Wyoming's like, hey, bowl games are neat, but every year we get 75% of the way through the season and we're like, hey, we're in the mix for a conference championship. And then they drop games that they're not supposed to drop. And then obviously we see stuff like what happened with the UNLV game. What do you think from kind of the outside looking in, or at least just looking at this conference, do you think Wyoming should stay with Craig Bull another year? Do you think he will? What are your thoughts there?
Wow, what a difference a month makes.
Huh? I know, yeah.
Yep. You know, hey, let's just be honest. Who around college football right now really likes their head coach or really likes their offensive coordinator? Let's just call a spade a spade,
yeah,
man. I've been in those shoes on the opposite side. I know it. It's a hard industry. It's cutthroat. I think Craig Bull, you know, in terms of the longevity of what he's been able to do, I think he's been the best coach at Wyoming. I would put him above Joe Glenn, and I played against Joe Glenn. You know, when we were at Boise State, you know, that was an easy win for us when we played Wyoming in the Joe Glenn era. You know, this has been a challenging game for Boise State over the last 7 years with Craig Bull at the helm. You know, I think he does a fantastic job. Cowboy tough's a real thing. You know, I think that this season there were a few really uneven performances. I'll be honest, when I watched Boise State, who is really fledgling as a program, absolutely drubbed this Wyoming team, I was shocked. I think, you know, they're built to run the football. They're built to stop the run. And, you know, if a team can light it up through the air, you know, they're not built for that comeback. And I know that. That's how PJ Fleck built Minnesota. And there were some games where, you know, I was calling plays in that philosophy. And I, you know, that's not necessarily my DNA. That's not what I come from. But when you work for a head coach that has a very solid vision for where to go, those games become challenging when a team starts moving it at ease through the air. And I think that's what ultimately has led to some of these head scratching losses. I think Craig Bull's the man for that job. I really do. I think it's a really challenging job. I mean, how many head coaches over the course of Wyoming football's history in Division 1A football have left with a winning record? And I think that'd be really interesting to look back at.
Yeah, and I think, you know, right now Craig Bohl is kind of like Mr. 500. But, man, coming from a CSU guy, I talk a lot of CSU, Mike. I would love to be able to get into a bowl game every single year. Just go ahead and pin that in. And then in early November, you're talking about me being in a conference championship game. Wouldn't that be something? I would love that. And that's coming from a guy that really dives in on the Colorado State side of things.
I think that CSU is primed for that. I believe, you know, there's two openings in the Mountain West Conference, and I think those are the two of the top three Mountain West Conference head coaching jobs. I think the third one, and really in no particular order, you know, it's CSU. You look at the funding. You look at the location. You look at the fan support, the following. I mean, I went to one CSU game at Canvas Stadium. Obviously, it was the Boise State game. Outside of CSU fans who, by the way, stay till the end of the game, please.
Oh, yeah.
Because you missed one of the most ridiculous endings in the history of college football. I stayed because I'm a Bronco. That's what we do. and unfortunately, I stayed. But if you're a Ram, you should have stayed for the entirety of that 60-minute contest, because that was absolute bananas. And history was made, but history was missed by 90% of that fan base. And I get it. You know, it was a late-night game, and everybody was pretty lubed up pretty good from the tailgating, which, by the way, is by far the best in the Mountain West. CSU's got it cooking, man. I think Jay Norvell's building this thing the right way. You know, I think he's wanting to establish an identity as a physical team, because he knows that these types of games late in November have to be won on the ground. But ultimately, you know, between Matt Mummy, you know, Jay Norvell, you know, and Braden Fowler Nicolosi and you know, and Torrey Horton, I mean, this is a team that when they decide to air it out, they're friggin' dangerous. And that's what I've seen when they decide to air it out. And you know, I really like what Jay Norvell's doing at CSU. I think that they're primed to be one of the top, you know, 3-4 teams in the Mountain West Conference next season going into it, and it wouldn't surprise me to see them in the Mountain West Championship next season.
Mike Sanford joining us. Just a great career, a great resume with so many different teams you were with, an assistant with, a coordinator with, Stanford, and of course Boise State, Notre Dame, Utah State, Minnesota, Colorado. So the experience is there. You've seen the highs and the lows. You've seen conference realignment. You've seen crazy things. Yesterday we get the news about this ruling with Oregon State and Washington State and what it all means. It's mainly about revenue right now, but look at the future with me, Mike. What happens here? Does the Pac-2 do they form a new Pac-12? Does Oregon State, Washington State look at the Mountain West? What's going to happen with these two teams? What's going to happen with maybe those two conferences?
Well, first off, it's not the Pac-2; it's the Tupac. I mean, there's no question about that.
Oh, yes, that's great. Great.
It is the Tupac. Currently, what I see is I see that Washington State and Oregon State winning this this legal battle. I think they're primed to be very selective about what they do. And if I'm Washington State and Oregon State, I pick the best six from the Mountain West.
Me too.
And I use the revenue, and I make it the old Pac-8. How beautiful does that sound?
It
My dad
awesome.
Played in the Pac-8 back at USC in the early 1970s. My dad played for John McKay in the Pac-8 conference, and it'd be so awesome to get that name back. And then also just have a larger share of the revenue. Now, without question, San Diego State, Boise State, Air Force, Colorado State, and then you have obviously Washington State and Oregon State. I think you leave New Mexico out of it. I think you leave Hawaii out of it. You know, I think, you know, there's a few, Fresno State's got to come. You know, LA, you know, you still have a piece of the LA market. And then San Jose State's a question mark. So I don't know if my numbers were right there. I think it was in the ballpark, but. Some of those other three, I think, are question marks. I think you got to solidify the Denver, you know, Fort Collins, Colorado Springs market in terms of TV revenue, and also the tradition-rich programs that are CSU, Air Force, you know, and then Boise State in Idaho, one of the fastest-growing cities in America and one of the proudest Group of Five traditions in all of college football. You make it a Pac-8, and you make the slice of the pie even greater, And I'll tell you this, with my new career path, I would love to be a studio analyst for the Pac-8 conference and whatever network they assemble. Hopefully it's a whole heck of a lot better of a network than the Pac-12 network, because that was an absolute dumpster fire.
Yeah, then that would be the thing. Like, what would the TV deal look like? You can't be, I know however many years ago that was the all the rage was, we're going to have our own network. We'll sign a 497-year deal with ESPN. We don't care about upping contracts and all that stuff because we're putting all of our stock into the Pac-12 network, and it just didn't work out. Number one, you got to make it easy. You got to make it easy for people to watch your games, because I like Pac-12 football. But if I got to, I don't have the Pac-12 network, Mike. So I will just go, darn it, I guess I don't get to watch that game. I will find something else that's available. It's got to be easy for people to watch your games.
I agree with that. And I think that, I think that what's going to happen is that the creativity of what the MLS did, Major League Soccer, and their deal with Apple TV, I thought it was brilliant. You know, and ultimately, like, having that tie with Apple, Apple's got pretty deep pockets, if you haven't noticed. And so if you set it up for, like, even an MLS to be able to have somebody at the table in the form of Apple to say, hey, by the way, Lionel Messi, come on over. Mm. Hey, we got some money for you. I think the same thing's going to hold true if they can sign a deal with an Apple, sign a deal with a Netflix, and whatever, you know, these streaming platforms are constantly evolving, is sign a deal that's a little bit outside the box, that people scratch their heads at first, but then when all of a sudden these teams that have left for the Big 12 conference, the Big 10 conference, and the ACC, those teams are going to get fatigued fast. All the travel, having no regional rivalries, empty stadiums on the West Coast because Rutgers is coming to town or West Virginia is coming to town. You know, UCLA fans don't really care too much about Rutgers. They barely cared much about Oregon coming to their stadium. So I think that there's going to be a lot of fatigue with regards to those teams. And then all of a sudden you have a heavy hitter, a big player in the media space that says, hey, you can come back home. And guess what? We got the pockets to make it make sense. I think that's what's going to happen. I think it's going to happen within the next 5 years. And I think the fatigue is going to be real for some of these true Western Seaboard teams that are going to be traveling to the Eastern Seaboard, and not just football, but in all sports. And I think it's going to come back together. But Washington State and Oregon State, they're in a really good position right now because they have the ability to be creative and think outside the box and be selective as they put this thing back together.
Oh, man, that's going to be interesting. Mike, I believe if schedule allows, you're going to be perhaps joining me in studio tomorrow because I want to get into this more with you. We got to talk prime time. We got to talk Buffs. Unfortunately, we're running out of time. But, Mike, you're awesome. Already getting amazing texts about what you do. So anytime I get you on the show, I absolutely appreciate it.
Hey, really appreciate it, Brady. And, man, I'll tell you this. We chose to live in Northern Colorado. We live in Weld County. I really think that this is the absolute best part of the state and one of the best places in the United States. It's really fun to be able to on the airwaves in my home. So it's a tremendous honor, and I look forward to continuing to talk with you on the air. I look forward to tomorrow.
I love it, man. All right, we'll talk to you soon, my friend. Be good.
All right. Hey, appreciate you, Brady.
Mike Sanford. A great guy. I could talk to that guy forever. He's going to be sitting in studio with me for the entire show. Angel's taking off. Sanford's going to come in, sit in the studio here. We've been trying to do this forever. We just couldn't get the pieces to line up, but we made it happen for tomorrow. 12:51 the time. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show, powered by Chevron, on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKN.
Mr. 700 Plus Wins is on KFKA. Coach Speak with Coach Bruce Dick. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the show. We still have Cody Tucker coming up. He is our Wyoming Cowboys insider. You noticed who Mike Sanford left out of that, right? Wyoming. He left him out. He did his eight. He said Pac-8, and I think that's what Angel and I were talking about. It's almost like we know what we're talking about. You got Mike Sanford, who was a quarterback's coach at Western Kentucky, a running back's coach at Stanford, an offensive coordinator at Boise State, an offensive coordinator at Notre Dame. He was with Western Kentucky. He was with Utah State, Minnesota, Colorado. He has been around, man. This guy gets it, and he's talking about, like, he was a head coach for Western Kentucky, and then when he went over to Colorado for a season, and that's when he was, of course, named the interim head coach, got the one win for the Buffs. One of the coolest guys you'll meet. So, excellent man, and we're looking forward to catching up with him tomorrow, but he's saying the same thing, that maybe you do a Pac-8. Maybe. And I'm with him on this, that if I'm really looking at the strength of the Mountain West and saying, let me get those teams over here. Now, you could look around at some of the other conferences and see if there are teams that make sense for you to go get, but I think that, again, given where Oregon State and Washington State is, and I know geography is not really an issue, but it'd be nice if people, because he thinks it is going to get fatigue. Like, over 5 years, you're going to see teams really struggle with that, with the travel schedule, because it's going to be nuts, man. It's going to be absolutely crazy. All right, Cody Tucker coming up next. We'll get set to talk Wyoming Cowboys, Craig Bull a little bit. Also, more on the Denver Nuggets. And Russell Wilson, I was hard on him yesterday, but there's something he's doing that is upper echelon, upper level stuff. And if he can keep doing it, maybe you got a playoff team. Maybe. Still not there yet, but maybe. It's the whole show. We'll be right back.